There's a hope I cannot hold, and a fear of growing old and losing touch or doing what I must. You may choose not to sleep, only for your fear to dream. While you wake, you ignore the conscious stream. What a waste to endure without esteem. What a way to restore the autumn. Sacrifice is silly when it doesn't slow the season. This hunger I will not feed, and the thought I won't concede keeps me here by myself with the fear. And now that you've made up all that's in your mind, break surfed traces intertwined for the sake of the soma you reside. It's still yours to care for or to bide. The beat in your body still believes now in the reason. Damn the river of despair, the sane leads to the bear. Allons-y, oui, le gars, mon ami. If I peel the layers away, is there more than ricochet? Sub the bone, is there more to atone? Oh, body horror, take my heart, then convince the world this is art. From within, we'll learn to begin. It's tough to know we're leaving when we tell you that we do not know where it possibly is leading, yet ensure you that you need not beware. The fear you feel is coming, you tremble as though God unprepared. The fear we feel is coming, it helps us know that we are still there. Whoa, it helps us know that we are still there. Oh, it helps us know.
Today on the Worst Little Podcast, something strange is happening with your host, Louis Kanui. Hey, DW, can you hit that music, please?
Who wants to be famous?
Well, that's mean. Are we all excited for a very fun time?
Is this supposed to be funny?
Maybe. Well, today on the pod, we got the ne'er-do-wells of the Reno music podcast scene. They're looking at me a little strangely because they don't quite understand yet. This April Fool's episode is going to be a little different. We're going to get to know each other a little bit better. We're going to talk. We're going to laugh. And maybe, by the end of all this, we might learn a little something about friendship. So if you haven't clicked off yet, I hope you stick around, maybe share with your friends, and get to know today's guests. the hosts of the Worst Little Podcast. And you're listening right now to me, Louie Canooey. Let's get into it.
It's a fine, tiny podcast. I'm talking out of my mouth.
I'd like to begin by apologizing to everybody because Ne'er-do-wells was associated in a very dark time in human history. The producers gave me that note. I'd like to apologize for using it. We're moving forward, but I just wanted to put a note on it. How are you all doing today?
Fine. Fine, thank you. Wasn't quite prepared for this.
Pretty good.
Well,
I'm doing great, dude.
Fine, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Louie Canooey, huh?
That's me today.
Thanks for having us on.
I think it's been a long time coming. You guys have been interviewing people in this community, this town, this house for a long time. But who are you guys? That's a question on the listeners' minds. So we're going to, you know, have some segments planned today. We're going to get to know each other. And I think there's no better way to begin by other than getting to know you. So in an anti-clockwise fashion, we're going to introduce the guest today. And for those listening at home, anti-clockwise, don't worry about it. You don't need to know the layout of who's sitting where, but we will handle it. But just imagine we're people sitting in a room.
That's my favorite aunt, anti-clockwise.
Right on. So to my right, first clue. Please say your name and how long you've been on this podcast.
My name is Patrick, and I've been on this podcast a year and a half.
Right on.
Nice.
Next.
I'm Nick, and I've been on the podcast the whole time, baby. 16 years.
Beautiful.
Going on 16 years.
You are 15, going on 16.
Yeah.
You guys have a really big musical sound of music audience. Anyway, next. Who are you?
I am Josh Martin. I've been on the podcast from day one also for almost 16 years.
Beautiful.
Yep.
And who's in the booth?
It's me.
That's wonderful.
Did you say booth?
Booth.
Shh. Please hold all questions to the end. I'd really appreciate it.
I got sidetracked.
Those who might have missed that, our new host just shushed our guests.
Got
this is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, great job on the first round of questions. We're getting to know each other already.
Thank you.
This next one, you know, let's think back. What is your favorite music memory in the Reno community?
Oh.
That you've ever experienced firsthand?
I mean,
well, yeah,
that's huge.
Well, let's go regular clockwise.
There's 10,000.
You start us off.
Right now, the first thing that pops into my mind, the Glitter Bats doing that David Bowie song.
Freak Out in a Moon Age Daydream.
Moon
that's
Age
what
Daydream.
That's
thank you yes. so much. That that changed that song forever for me, and it was a magical moment that I really, really loved.
Right on. Josh?
There was a play that they did at Bruca Theater downtown, maybe 96, called Green, and a lot of like local musicians and theater folks were in that play, and all the members of Fat Couch, I think, had a part of some sort or another in that play. And after the play, we all walked, the whole audience and the band walked over to the Blue Lamp, which was about a 4 or 5 block walk. We just marched over there, walked into the bar, which was about half full. The band went straight in, grabbed their instruments and started playing, and then this whole big crowd was in there. It was just a really special time and place.
Yeah. Right on.
It was awesome.
Oh, man.
What about you, Nick?
I like that one a lot. I'm going to have to go with, oh, fuck. You know what? I'm going to go way back to the, really for when it all started for me in the Metamorphosis days and meeting Gunshot Liquor for the first time at their own open mic that they called the Pink Jam, that they wanted women to come down and play music with Stacey. Mm-hmm. But only dudes showed up fucking with maybe sometimes with their girlfriends or whatever. Mm. Girls didn't really play, but and also because then I got to play with my friends. I played bass at the time and played with Hudson, who played drums. And then from there, we started a band. And now full circle all those years later, the lady Stacey from Gunshot and my friend Hudson, who I went there, are together. They're partners in life and doing great, and I don't know if they listen. Hey, shout out to Hudson and Stacey and Gunshot Liquor.
Three
my
great
favorite Reno band.
Three great answers so far, Patrick. It's better be good.
I've got probably a couple. I mean, it's just like for me, it was like before I lived here, I was in a band based out of Portland. We came through here probably like 3 or 4 times. as a band. And every time we did, the other bands on the bill were so good. And everyone was so welcoming and so nice. And the Holland Project was so fucking cool, especially in Portland, where it's like impossible to keep an all-ages venue open. It's just like really impressive that Holland Project's been able to do what it does. You know, and I made connections. And this really like endeared me to Reno. It was probably part of the reason why I'm here now. You know what I mean? Like I met my current good friend Ivan and roommate, you know, during those tours and stuff like that. And as well as just been like taken in and allowed to crash on people's couches who I have no idea who they are or where they're at now, but they were very hospitable. So everyone just seemed really nice and really welcoming and really excited just about music in general, you know. And then after I've gotten here, you know, seeing things like Mary Anarchy that are still going, it's just, you know, it's great. And it's a great sense of community and stuff. So
would you say you guys' podcast is kind of a branch of the that kind of stew that is the Reno music community? You know, like people are kind of thrown in, they're able to, you know, form into what they're going to be and then become delicious down the line, to make the metaphor unusable in any other situation.
I like to think that we catch everything as it is. We hear it when it's brand new and still mm-hmm. a little seminal. Then we hear it as it gets a little better. Yeah. Then they come back a few years later and it's even better. And then they come back and they're legends. And then they pass away and we're able to hear their songs yeah. afterwards.
We're able to archive all like, that.
We just go on forever and ever.
Yeah. Talking to Rick and Chewy, it's the way I think about it is certainly like a history project. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because a lot of times there's some of these bands, this is the only time that they've been recorded. You know what I mean? And the only time they will be recorded.
Preserved in time.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. And the next question is going to be, what's your favorite podcast moment? But before we do, I do have an ad I have to read, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
So I thank geez. You all for...
Dude, are we getting paid for this?
I'm getting paid. So if you wouldn't mind, they really like silence. Today's segment is brought to you by L.L. Bean. L.L. Bean, yeah, they're still here, and they're not owned yet by private equity, so come on down and buy a shirt. Their summer shirts are the sure thing. Go to their website, link not included, and at checkout, use promo code SummerSureShort. Oh, God. Use promo code SummerSureShort. I take it back. L.L. Bean, I'm not promoting your website. I hope private equity acquires you. Patrick, would you mind telling me about your favorite podcast moment?
On this podcast?
Sure. Oh, no, it's Car Talk on NPR.
Yeah, I mean, it would be kind of lame. Like, I was listening to this podcast once. Oh, great story. So
it was
great.
My favorite.
You know? I mean, when we had that fucking magician on, or whatever that was.
The mentalism.
Yeah, the mentalist.
The mentalism.
That's correct. I wish I
remember. Helena.
Helena, yes. The
Empress
mentalist.
Of the Impossible.
Yes, Empress that of was, the Impossible.
That was pretty crazy. And there was an episode a few weeks back, which I thought was funny because it was just very earnest and very touchy-feely. And I felt like I made it worse by being there.
What do you mean touchy-feely? Oh, like
and you like that
sensitive artists?
Yeah, yeah. And okay. I felt like
we keep our hands to ourselves. I just want to.
Yeah, no. I just
so
wanted
did
to
you get touched and felt?
No.
Let's.
Yeah, maybe they're touching you.
Only like
feeling you.
We're touching our hearts right now.
Yes.
Let's keep things serious.
Okay, sorry.
But I just went home feeling like totally jaded and cynical, and I was just like, these people just came on to have a good show, and I'm like fucking talking about foot fetishes and shit. You know, so.
Well, I guess it's good. The thing you can take away from that is it's good to feel that shame because that means you're still feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
That's beautiful. Before we throw it to Nick, we do have, unfortunately, a second ad. Thank you. Today's segment is brought to you by LL Cool J. LL Cool J is proud to be representing a brand new campaign going on right now to raise awareness for those working towards solidifying and maintaining the rights to one's own namesake and the privacy that comes from such autonomy. That is a great cause, but unfortunately, the ad read copy says the mission is LL Cool J's venture into private equity, which is unfortunate. Thus, I will not be taking their sponsor. Nick, what's up with your favorite memory of this podcast or others?
Oh, God. Well, I would say my favorite memory is, you know, feeling a sense of pride after the 500th episode live in the biggest little city in Midtown with a full room and not knowing what to expect, being like, I don't know. I really didn't pay attention to the numbers much until I started publishing the show myself. And then just here and then, and I don't really think about it. So by the 500th episode, I didn't know how many listeners we have. And I didn't know how many would fucking show up to an event, you know.
Right.
And having a full room, having the bands we had, they were great. And Stacks of Wax doing the DJ, and it just... a sense of pride in all everybody was there who had been in the cast so far. You know, we had that tight crew at the time. We still have a tight crew. People come, tight. You know, we have turnover, but it's...
Of course.
It, and that was it, the 500th episode. That'd be my answer.
Beautiful. And before we throw it to my man to the north, I am unfortunately going to read my third ad.
Third ad.
Word.
Thank you for your respect. Today's segment is brought to you by LL Coolio. Have you heard? The genius behind 1995's Gangsta's Paradise and the theme song for the Nickelodeon hit 1996 Kenan Thompson vehicle, Kenan and Kel, won the lottery and is now dummy rich. When the money hit his bank account, he immediately used his excess wealth to form an aggressive private equity firm, which after many acts, widely described as unscrupulous, yet technically legal unfortunately, acquired the naming rights of the LL moniker, often linked to his rival wordsmith, the man formerly called LL Cool J, now just Jimmy Smith. LL Coolio has created this campaign using mid to bottom of the barrel indie musicians, to tell the world that he won. Now, LL Coolio said, knock you out. Thank you for your money, LL Coolio.
Oh, you know what's crazy, you guys? Today's good song, bad song is by LL Cool J.
No way!
Is that fucking
no
weird?
Way!
Better be on bad.
Well, do you mean LL Coolio or Jimmy Smith?
I'm sorry. It's from the first guy.
Okay. Dude. Well, in the notes, LL Cool J was spelled a little differently. So it was like E-L-E-L.
Oh, that guy. So,
yeah.
LL Cool J. Right. So
it's a way to get around it.
Rick's favorite.
The.
I think we need
that's a good band, too.
We need to ask our host if we could squeeze in a good song, bad song.
I got you covered.
Okay. Cool.
I think.
I don't know what that means.
Sorry. I'm wearing a Snuggie and I'm holding Patrick very tightly. For those listening at home, I got him.
Very touchy-feely.
Yeah. What's your favorite podcast memory?
I feel like Coolio might have recently passed away.
No
and
way.
Also, that's as a person who's been a hip-hop fan for many, many, many years, since like my fifth grade year when I got the breakdancing tape, I don't think LL Cool J and Coolio were ever rivals.
I just read what they send me, man.
All right, bud. So anyway, my favorite podcast memory, of course, was Nick, same one Nick said. And rather than come up with a different memory, since I worked so hard to come up with that one, I'm just going to roll with that and pile on top and say that that 500th episode where we went and did the show, the live show at the Alpine.
Oh, it's a Cypress.
It was the Cypress. My bad. Sorry, guys. It was just nice to see how many people were there and appreciated it and like really was surprised. I was surprised also that many people showed up just to show appreciation for what we've done up to that point. So that was a good memory. And also when Layla James, who was a DJ locally, when her dog came in and took a shit on the floor and we all got it cleaned up before Rick even knew about it and sprayed Lysol and everything.
And he will never know about it.
And that was his old place over in Sparks, which is no longer there. That part was pretty cool too.
Congratulations on that. That sounds
you're welcome.
Both the podcast and the poop cleanup.
You're welcome.
Hey, Rick Diggity Dog, what do you have for favorite memories?
Oh, that 500th episode was pretty great. I don't want to call that one, but and I've said this before, the moment when we were all standing on stage and there were hundreds of people in that place, like there's maybe 200 people, and it. And Rory asked how many people here have been inside Rick's house, and the whole fucking bar raised their hands.
Yeah. That's really
and
sweet.
That was the moment when I was like, how have I not been robbed yet? Everybody knows where I live. But I was going to say the 600th episode was always a great one. That show was all music and our talking and our funny stuff that we say and the conversations we have is such a great part of the show most weeks. But having all music, that was pretty cool. But the greatest part was just being at the house with all those fucking great people.
That was killer.
That was amazing.
Is Dr. G still on headphones?
Yes, he is.
Okay, I thought of another one from that specific.
Yeah?
600, is when we were asking Doc G to check the mic, and we're just like, keep talking. Keep talking.
Yes, and he started.
And he just starts rapping out of nowhere.
Guys.
When the interns, fuck, I didn't get to hear that.
When the interns come out of their shells. Yeah. Nor was it recorded, sad, because we were testing stuff. That was rough.
Man. Hey, I would add to one of my that I'll remember forever is just listening to Rick talk to John Waters and me giddy in the corner going, Holy fucking shit, we got John Waters.
You guys, I was like sick the next day like I had done meth. Like that's how upset and scared and adrenaline rushed I was during that show. It was amazing. That was incredible. And it's one of those great moments. But it wasn't like a local moment. You know, one of the moments that really, really got to me was we had Zach Ryan on doing solo acoustic guitar stuff. And for the Patreon, I was just like, hey, can you play? And I just mentioned like my favorite song off his first album that I didn't record. It's just his first album thing. And I was like, hey, can you play that song? And he was like, oh, sure. And he just fucking whipped it out like perfect. It's like a rockin' song with like that's fully developed on the album. And then he just played this acoustic version of it that just it was amazing. And I was like singing along. And one of the interns at the time was looking at me just being like, you fanboy piece of crap. And I didn't know any of the words, so I was making up my own words that sounded like it. And later he gave me the words of the song, so I know what he says now.
Would you say that's an ulterior motive of the podcast to lure, for lack of better words, people you want to hear live into your home and listen to them?
Hell yeah, that's what happened. One time somebody was like, what a great way to get new work for your studio. And I'm like, God, I didn't even think of that, but you're right.
We noticed it at like season two. We're like, you know what? This is getting you work.
Actually, yeah.
Drumming up some business.
Some of the best albums I've ever done came from people that I met because they came over and did the show. You know, like the Grim Tones were only here because Michelle was like, I liked the way you made my guitar sound on the show. And like, holy crap.
You guys
and then
whole...
I got to do two of my favorite albums that I've ever done are the two Grim Tones albums I got to do. So. Anyway, well,
sounds like you guys have a really great, community here. You're building it; it's ever growing, and we're getting to know you even more. And I think this last question is really going to get us to know each other even more. Can any of you dunk a basketball?
No.
Rick,
I've never tried.
Hey, that's something.
I could grab the rim. I could never get the ball over the rim, but I could grab the rim and hold it for a moment.
That's really cool, man.
In the day.
Nighttime, don't.
Could you?
Maybe like I'll never, little, never find it.
Too. Can you dunk a basketball?
Please respect my privacy.
Okay.
All right. That's all the questions to get to know each other. So, Rick,
cool.
I sent you a song earlier. Can you play that for us, please?
Louis?
Yeah.
The song that you sent me was Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
And we can't just play another band's song on the show because we'll get in trouble for copyright infringement.
I'd like to apologize to everybody. I tried to plagiarize somebody else's song today, and I thought I could get away with it. I'm really sorry because I thought you guys would not notice. And because I got caught, I'm very sorry. So I will sing a different song right now.
Hellbilly Bandits did that one time.
I don't much care for that song in the race.
Would you have known it wasn't me?
No.
Good. Rick, play it fast.
No.
All right. This song's called I'm Not Here.
I can't sleep until the sun starts rising. Well, getting up is hard enough, but when I do, I begin realizing I'm not so tough. You see that all the plans that I'm devising, they keep me up real late. The voices shout so loud, but I know they're lying. They're telling me that I should celebrate. Though I'm not here unless you're here beside me. No, I'm not well, for you have chosen while I'm still deciding how to break my shell. You see, the times do no more but remind me I've drained the well while your life grows. Mine is dividing with those sickle cells. It's why I leave cracks in the pain. Leave it open in case I see you as the rain. These horses come, they take the lives away. But as ships set sail, there'll be no need to pray. Well, again and again they will fall to their knees. Again and again wishes fall to the breeze. To the breeze, fall to the breeze, fall to the breeze, fall to. No one is around, we can take it faster. Up and away we'll go, nobody will judge you except your pastor. What could he know about a love or a life anything like ours? Sew me up and I'll cover up my scars. Well, I'm not here unless you're here beside me. No, I'm not well for you chosen while I'm still deciding how to break my shell. See the times do no more but remind me. I'll drain the well while your life grows. Mine is dividing with those sickle cells, the sickle cells. Here's hoping I get to see you before long. It might be wasted. Well, I'm sure you will be gone. These horses come, they take the lives away. But as ships set sail, there'll be no need to pray. Well, again and again, they will fall to their knees. Again and again, wishes fall to the breeze. To the breeze, to the breeze, to the breeze falls to. You're why I leave cracks in the pain. I leave it open, you're a storm, and I will welcome all your rain. These horses come, they take the lives away. But as ships set sail, there'll be no need to pray. Well, again and again they will fall to their knees. Again and again wishes fall through, but again and again it could all fall through. But again and again you will depart. But again and again and again I'll sing your part.
That was rad. It's really incredible shit, man.
Appreciate that.
I'd ask you about it, but it's not your show.
Perforate that.
Yeah, I'll ask the questions here. Anyway, that brings us to our next segment, and it's going to be a fun one, let me tell you. On your guys' show, you guys often have a question segment. We already did one, but we are going to do another one, unfortunately. So let me actually make sure that's correct. I'm sure it is. Hey, DW, hit that question music, because these fellas are going to get the question round questions.
You got it, Uncle Luke.
Oh, no. Alrighty, so like many question segments, we're going to go around. We're going to ask some questions. We're going to answer some questions. And let me tell you, it's going to be...
This is hard. I don't know.
Okay, so... bear with me. Not literally, but just bear with me.
Sexually.
So I have like 12 questions here. So let's start with question one. Sorry, is everybody ready?
12 questions?
Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, question two. This question comes from YouTube. I think it was a well-intended comment that was not stated as a question, but I think we needed to ask it as if the question, because otherwise it makes no sense. So... first to Patrick, who else wishes George Harrison was still alive?
Who else wishes George? Are you asking me if I'm wishing George Harrison was alive, or are you asking me to comment on who I think wishes George Harrison?
No. Do you? Who else wishes? The question for the room: who else wishes George Harrison was alive? And again, that was not an actual question on a YouTube comment. It was a period at the end of that sentence. So. Who knows? They were probably engagement farming or a bot. They wanted people to be like, "Ah, oh, I miss George Harrison," but that's not what they asked. They were doing a census of who wants him dead and who wants him alive. So.
I would trade Paul or Ringo for George Harrison.
Correct. Sorry. Nick?
I miss George Harrison.
Okay, great.
I'm happy that George Harrison doesn't have to be alive.
No, that's fair.
That's a really nice way to put it, Chewy.
And yeah. Mr. Man in the Booth.
I like him. I'm very fond of George Harrison. I'm just thinking he wouldn't be impressed.
I wouldn't mind having George Harrison back.
And that's the great thing about this world, differing opinions. Question three. This one comes from me. If you could go back in time, what YouTube video would you show George Washington to have him change his mind about creating the United States of America?
Me?
Yeah, sure.
I want to show him the video where the girlfriends trick their boyfriends by asking for toilet paper and then put chocolate sauce on their hands, and the boyfriend thinks that he got poop on his hand, but it's actually fake. That I think that's fucking hilarious.
That would stop the United States being created for sure.
He'd be like, "What the fuck is this?"
Josh,
there's this video where this chick is like she does like barbecue and stuff. And she smoked these chicken wings for like an hour and smoked them, so the wings are all like got this great smoky flavor and they're super tender. Mm-hmm. But then she dips them in this batter. It's like a cookie batter type of thing, but not sweet like that, but like almost like pancake batter, but like tempura.
Sure.
And then she fries them after they've already been smoked and dipped in the stuff, and then they come out and they have this really crispy outside texture. And it's got like this great seasoning on it.
I'm really sorry. I think he's going to continue with America after that.
Man, that's fine.
Okay.
I like America too.
Hey, man, that's fine.
What about you, Nick? Let's stop this American dream.
Two girls, one cup.
That was on YouTube? Patrick?
I would show him footage of the nuclear bombs being dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Okay. Oh, that's fair.
Damn. Oh, serious answer.
Heavy duty.
Like, that really would do it, maybe.
Yeah, like, you're fucking birthing a monster. Don't do this.
All right. I'm glad you took that very seriously. Mm-hmm. I would show him Carmel dancing. Question comes from a doofus. Am I the only one who thinks this?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Well, the thing is, if anyone ever starts a sentence by saying, am I the only one who thinks this? The answer is no, of course not. There's been billions of thoughts. Maybe even more. Who knows? But you're not the only one. And that's a loving statement. You're not the only
people,
one out there.
So there has been billions of thoughts.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. Try this one on for size. Has anybody ever thought, you're going to get you fucking out, right?
Ditto, man. No. This question also comes in from me. To be or not to be? We'll start with Patrick.
That is the question.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Of course.
So what's
to
the
be?
Answer?
Yes, to be or not to be?
Not to be. Okay. To be. Thank you. Pulling teeth. Nick.
What's the question?
To be or not to be?
Yeah. That is the question.
So that is the question.
Rapid fire, Nick. Come on.
I'm going to go with not to be.
Okay. Oh,
Nick.
I'm so sorry.
Generically.
I don't know the context.
To be.
Great. Enric in the booth.
I'm going to choose to be.
That's wonderful.
I mean, for now.
I'm going to change my answer then. I want to hang out with you guys.
Okay, hey,
peer pressure works.
All right.
Okay. Where are we at? Question six. We're doing great. This is a question from the Worst Little Podcast. You guys are familiar. What is your go-to breakfast order, Patrick?
I eat fucking... Over the course of my life, it's probably a chorizo breakfast burrito.
That sounds delicious.
Mm-hmm. I've lived much longer, but I'm going to keep it in the present. With me and my wife go out. My favorite thing we do is... You get a regular eggs benedict, and you get a chipotle eggs benedict with the chorizo patties. That one. Then we split one of each, and we both have that because it's too much when I have two of those hot ones, and I kind of miss the regular one when I'm eating the hot one, and then I kind of miss the hot one when I'm eating the regular one.
And
so this way I get both.
And you get the company of talk to someone else while eating that benedict. That's
yeah,
great.
It's a split.
It's a win-win.
It's my favorite.
What's your breakfast?
The Hawaiian breakfast at Peg's. It's rice and macaroni salad.
In the pork chop?
Fried Spam.
Portuguese
sausage.
Sorry for interrupting.
And
that
an
was...
egg. An egg
Bingo
over cup. Medium on the top of that so I can chop it up and have the egg run into all of it.
Mm. Very Sounds delicious.
Amazing.
So good.
Dog man in the booth?
Okay, with my new way of eating, the Grateful Gardens frittata with the vegan eggs and the vegan sausage and their vegan cheese grilled on the top of it with potatoes and stuff is my favorite current breakfast. However,
really
but my favorite real breakfast before I ate like this was chicken fried steak and eggs covered in country gravy and hash browns and and sausage.
Not at all the point of this, but what's the new way of eating? Is this breaking news?
Oh, it's been about a year and a half that I've been eating. It's near vegan. It's like
no, but like with your mouth still.
Chicken.
Yeah.
Fries,
oh
dude.
Yeah. No, I now put all my food in my butt.
Okay. New way of eating.
Boofing the chicken fries.
And mine is a nice bagel egg sandwich. And Rick, can you tell can you tell the intern to get started on that order?
Immediately, you guys.
Okay. We don't need to repeat it.
Trick: find the bagels.
All right. Well, that'll come at the end of the show, I'm sure.
Stout.
Good one, Rick.
3 minutes of silence. All right, this is kind of a thinker of a question, so I hope you guys are ready. You take a nap and you sleep for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do a good job sleeping or a bad job sleeping?
Oh.
You know what? You seemed interested. Let's go right
to
you.
Is this middle of the day?
Hey, that's all you get.
Okay. I did a good job sleeping. Josh, good job? Good.
Yeah, good job sleeping.
I say bad job because if it's a nap, I take a lot of pride in my ability to catnap, and so if I lay down for a catnap and it ends up being a couple hours, something fucking went wrong.
Magical.
And dog water?
100%. I'm with Patrick. A proper nap is 30 minutes or less. Anything more than that, and I'm fucked for the rest of the day.
I
like getting fucked for the rest of the day. It's awesome.
it's been a while.
That's some great bonus.
Yeah, clip that one out.
That question came in from Rip Van Winkle. Thank you, Rip. The next question. It has a prop.
Prop.
Just for the listeners. Luke brought in a seemingly completely disorganized stack of papers.
Yeah.
That he's been rifling through this whole time. It's great.
I want everybody to know that Patrick is a liar. I'm very neat. Together, the things I printed off, the font is not too small, and everybody likes this. All right. Can you pass these around, please?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you. You're the best.
Passed around.
So the song, Singing in the Rain, came out 23 years before the movie, Singing in the Rain. What song that came out about 23 years ago would you want a movie to come out today that features that song as the musical centerpiece and the title but isn't exactly crucial to the plot of the movie? And Rick, if you want to look under your keyboard, that's where you'll see clue number one.
So are we picking from this list?
If you think of a song that came out roughly 23 years ago.
You'd like to know a movie
that comes out this year that's about...
Based on a song?
Kind of. Singing in the Rain isn't about singing in the rain. That just happens.
All right.
Oh, okay. I get it. Okay.
And I want the listeners to know we've been sitting in this room for 45 minutes looking at this list, so we cut it out a lot of stuff. Yep. So we're going to throw over to Rick first.
It's been 45 minutes, right?
This is mostly a fun fact I'm promoting as a question. You know, it's not that important. Singing in the Rain was a song before a movie, and then just imagine people in the 50s were like, boy howdy, Singing in the Rain's a movie now? We got to get to the cinema to see one of those movies. I hear there's dancing in it.
Well, I have an answer.
What is it?
I would love to see Hey Ya, the movie.
That would be great. And that's not necessarily what it's about, but like, you're going to want to
see. The song's in it? Yeah.
Yeah, right in the middle.
Got my money. Yeah,
Hey Ya. Sure. Yeah. Great song.
It's a good song. It even tells a good story. You could make a movie out of.
Hey, that's a great idea.
Good choice, Patrick.
Outcast is great storytellers.
Yes.
The list you gave me, I'm going to go with, I didn't even know this song, but fucking Miss Independent, a movie with Kelly. It's got to star Kelly Clarkson.
She's done it before.
Yeah.
From Justin the Kelly.
She's got to do better than from Justin.
Hey, Kelly. A redemption story. The Oscars love that.
They do. Because I can already see it winning.
Because she's a snack, dude.
That's true, but uncouth.
Shout out Kelly Clarkson if you're listening. Come on the show.
It's April Fool's, man.
Gotcha. What's about you?
You'd probably Get Low by Lil Jon and the East Side Boys.
I think that was already a movie starring that old man, so we're going to pass on you. Okay. Rick, what about you?
Clint Eastwood?
God, it's not very...
I don't think so.
It's not very nice, but I think I want...
Get Shorty.
I want Cold Hard Bitch. By Jet, only because I like Jet.
I like Cold Hard Bitch.
That sounds like a good movie.
That does sound good, but I don't think we'll be able to get a wide release. That's the only thing.
With the
bitch in the title.
Yeah, are you kidding me?
Also, I'm very sorry. That's the first curse I've ever said.
Picky lady. Mm.
Last week's guest, Nacho Bitch.
That's true, yeah.
That was a great episode.
Thank you.
Listen to the Worst Little Podcast. what is something you like doing that's Halloween enough? And by that, I'm going to hand out my prop number two.
Halloween enough.
Like, it's not like watching a scary movie. That would be... Don't look at my cards. It's not like watching a scary movie. That's definitely a Halloween activity. I'm talking about... Take as many as you need. Apple picking. I'm talking about
sense.
Raking leaves. What's something that's Halloween enough that you like doing to get in that fall mood? And those are some movies there. There's some television shows. Rick, you also have this clue under your keyboard.
Yes.
Well,
what's Halloween enough?
Rocky Horror, man.
Oh, that so works. Halloween.
That's Halloween enough.
God. That should be done all year round.
Would you say it's too Halloween, though? Mm. It's not explicitly Halloween.
It's really
or
on
scary.
The nose. I mean, there's dressing up. There's
That's great. That's a great answer.
I would say like a hot cider. The first time of the year.
Ooh.
Ooh, a hot cider
is Halloween
nice.
Enough.
You know what I mean?
That works.
It depends on who's with us, too, because like, I mean, E.T. could be a Halloween movie. It's got Halloween in it.
But see, because there's that Halloween plot point where they're dressed up as for Halloween, is that too Halloween?
No, that's not Halloween enough.
That's not
it's
Halloween.
Not the main plot point. See what I'm saying?
That movie came out in the summer.
Hey, these are probably
Ooh,
facts.
Patrick.
What?
Came out in the summer. Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. That's a good ass point.
Summer blockbuster.
You figured out the trick of the question is to stump me. Rick, what do you think?
My favorite Halloween enough thing would be getting free candy from strangers.
Oh, and is yours the show Strangers with Candy?
No.
Oh, my bad.
That's a great tie-in. Yes. Mm-hmm. I will go with that.
Panhandling.
Oh. Hey,
which street?
Not Keystone. That was kind of crowded. But it probably, I'd say, Yori might be kind of fun.
Yeah, panhandling on
Yori. You're
not going
to get a lot on Yori. You need a good,
no, but
like, shopping
I don't really
center.
Need anything. I don't really need it. I'm doing it for the experience.
Yeah, right. Okay.
It's experience in different life.
It can be very
one
scary,
day a year.
And I'm asking for free stuff.
You just donate all the money you panhandle?
To him, if he gets a $100 bill or a penny, it doesn't make a difference. He's in it to panhandle.
Everybody should know, Josh is so freaking rich. He doesn't need this. He doesn't need the panhandle.
What trick-or-treating is...
Free candy.
Except I'd be on Yori, and the money I earned from panhandling, I would spend at the liquor store.
You win. I'm not playing favorites. That is the best answer because it is Halloween enough. You're not dressing up for Halloween.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. Thank you very much. And that question came from a podcast I like called Goosebuds. They released that question on a segment they did probably 9 years ago by accident.
Good question.
And they've never brought
Don't
it up ever since, but it stuck with me.
Fuck their podcast.
I know. Anywho, this next question comes in from a loyal listener named Robin, and it's the one I'm most likely to skip right past. What is the One Piece? Anyone have any ideas? It's been a 30-year mystery.
The what?
The One Piece. That reaction, about? I'm going to skip right past it.
Like a bathing suit?
That's not going to be it, man. Question 11. not a question. I'm going to start with...
Moving right along.
Moving to Patrick. Not a question, but name a car.
Camaro.
Wrong.
Galaxy 500.
I think that's already taken.
Shit.
Cadillac Brown.
You can't, guys. You're gonna get sued by those companies.
Sue me.
They already exist.
Oh, name a car.
Name a car.
Rick. Name
oh,
a car.
Name a
Rick
car.
A car.
Like
imagine.
Oh my God.
Doug.
Okay.
You're gonna drive around a Doug.
Yeah. No. The Flying Stoat.
Okay. I mean,
beautiful.
That, you want it? That okay? That's legally different. So good job. Everyone else, fine. Question 12. I want to say. Sorry, is it Huey?
Yes.
All right. That's what I was wondering. That is the end of the questions. We're going right to the lightning round. Play that lightning round sound. That was the wrong sound. I really hope. I don't know what happened there. Can we please play the lightning round sound bite? That's the same thing, just a little more intense. Can we please play the lightning round? I want to get this done. Thank you very much. I love you, Rick. alrighty. So this is the fastest, most point-affecting moment. We're going to ask each of you one question. Different questions. We're going to start with Patrick.
Lightning!
We have already played that. We have to move on. Patrick, what has shocked you recently?
My cat.
Great. Nick, have you ever donated plasma?
Yes.
Huey. What is thunder too loud?
Chewbacca.
No.
Okay. Rick in the booth. Did Lightning McQueen deserve to die?
No.
Everybody all at once, does Thor ever get sore?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Barely together, but we'll allow it. Let's calculate those points. Beep, boop, beep, bop, beep. Inconclusive, we're moving on. Please stop the music. I'm going to play another song now.
Ah. Did anybody notice how the quiz music backwards wasn't that really that different from the quiz music forward?
It was pretty jarring at first, like with the full band, it was pretty jarring. But once it got to like single instruments,
it was amazing how well that worked.
So who won the quiz? What are the points?
Doesn't matter.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
This is some fucking bullshit.
All right.
But before we go into this,
for the love of the game,
I did forget about a segment. We're going to do Does This Song Stink? It's a song I love doing. Today's artist is going to be Meta for the Metaphor. Now, think about it. And before you answer, know that my ego outside of character is very, very fragile and I can't take any criticism. So with that being said, what do you think?
No, the song does not stink.
Okay.
No.
Huh?
I'm going to say yeah.
I'm sure it's so good that even John likes it.
Are you sure?
I just want to be contrarian.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding. That's going to be a great song.
Okay.
Probably my favorite so far.
We'll decide afterwards.
You're 3 for 3 so far.
Listen to Patreon.
Yeah.
All right. This is a song I wrote for my friend who's getting married. He got married in 2016. And I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to make a cool toast. And I wanted to write out at that time, we were friends for 10 years. We're still friends. So 20 years into this point. And this is a song that stuck with me. I wrote it in a haiku format. Initially, as a way to test myself, it's called Something Different. A warmth begins the flame, gather all we can muster. Heat flows from within, the earth waits on the cluster. Show how pressure strains to let us glow. So please stay sharp, my dagger. With confidence we roam, but by the end we stagger. Slow, as if we have nowhere to go. Horses in the dark appear to give us power. We're children in the park, stay in the slide, mute our guffaws. And we'll have fun despite our flaws. Sweet cuts take time. Oh, to heal less, you change your mind. This harder deal may lead us to the sea. You may not face the divine, but you could waste some time with me. Begin again the following day. It's why we make our beds. We need some home to stay warm, to keep us well away from harm. Feel the ebb and flow. You've got the moves to copy. I tend to disappear. I'd like for you to stop me soon, or be the sun and chase the moon. Whisper in my ear, no, I can keep a secret. Why can't it leave our heads? Do you not wish we met? Old and new, better than to be fooled. And sweet cuts take time. Oh, to heal less, you change your mind. This hard ordeal may lead us to the sea. You may not face the divine, but you could waste some time with me.
So let's forgive the start, all awkward moments linger, and let's forget the end, ignore the rude harbinger who says he knows what will be true. With wit to slice the skin, we'll reveal every layer and map out every curve. We'll harness strength while sayers soothe. We'll live a life without the proof. But you say we may drift apart. No, I can feel the schism. Say that you don't belong. Fix that anachronism too. If it ends with me and you. And sweet cuts take time. Change your mind. This hard deal may lead us to the sea. You may not face the divine, but you could waste some time with me. Oh, with me. You may not face the divine, but you could waste some time with me.
Yeah, that didn't stink. I thought it was a very, very good song.
That didn't stink at all. That was lovely.
I hate that John said that.
Didn't smell like doo doo.
Not knowing, I heard you say "I hate," and I was like, "Rick."
Do you guys want to do good song, bad song?
Well, it is LL Cool J, right?
Right.
You know what? As a gift for you guys, let's do good song, bad song.
All right, it's time for good song, bad song for April Fool's edition. But just kismet, because we had LL Cool J on the docket. Okay, everybody go around the room. Do you think John's going to say it's good or bad? I don't remember, so I'll pitch in this time and say bad.
I couldn't name an LL Cool J song off the top of my head with a gun pointed to my head, so I'm going to very weakly say bad song.
Okay, two bads.
Mama said knock you out. I hope it's that one, so I'm going to say good song.
Oh, God.
I think he's going to say good song, but it may not be a good song. But if the song is I'm Bad, then it's by rule it is a bad song because it's called I'm Bad. But it's probably not that song.
I'll say the guy says it's good.
I think he's gonna say good.
Rick? I'm gonna just like you said, I'm gonna weakly say bad just because I'm betting on John's jadedness.
Mm. Right. That's part of the thing. If you know John, you're not quite sure.
I feel like he said it.
I think he probably thinks it's a bad song, but he's not gonna say it.
I feel like the last
song.
Couple he said it and he didn't like it, so I'm hoping for a
gotcha. Right,
we're due.
Okay. Yeah. All right, John. Ladies love Cool J. This is a good song, bad song, by the way. John, is this a good song?
Yeah, this is definitely a good song. There was so much really, really dumb rap in the 90s. And this is pop rap, but this isn't half as dumb as, like, you know, Will Smith or MC Hammer. I mean, this, like, sits right between gangster rap, which sometimes can be a little much, and the dumbest of pop rap. It's well-crafted. It sounds awesome. It pumps you up. This is a good song.
There you have it, folks. LL Cool J, Mama Said Knock You Out. Good song.
Well, John said it.
Nailed it.
That's that, you guys.
Ah, shit.
LL Cool J is going to be okay.
He said there was not really a lot of great rap in the 90s, but that's not true.
He just didn't hear it.
Yeah, he didn't listen.
I thought he said that there was a lot of bad rap in the 90s.
He did say that.
So that means that there could be lots of good, too.
Yeah, that's true.
That's perspective.
And I don't like Will Smith, but I did like the stuff he did with Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Wild Wild West.
In the 80s, so that wasn't the 90s.
Men in Black, two great songs.
Wild Wild West was Kool Moe Dee.
Getting Jiggy with It is a great song.
No.
And if you don't Wild Wild West, put it on after midnight.
That was Will Smith.
No way.
Well, Will Smith did it for the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Wait, there's...
So you're both right.
The original Wild Wild West by Kool Moe Dee.
We're talking about the 90s rap and Will Smith. He did Wild Wild West.
Will Smith, if you're listening and you'd like to rehabilitate your image, please come on the show.
Yeah, well, it does wonders.
How many people here saw Wild Wild West?
I think I've seen it on TBS back in 2001.
Yes. I might have saw it once.
I love when they took the guy's disembodied head and put a light bulb in it so that it would cast the last image that he saw on the wall.
Spoiler.
What the fuck?
It was a good movie.
That was the,
maybe I didn't see it.
That's the key.
There was a giant mechanical steampunk spider. I'm like, how could you miss that?
I think that was a dream you had.
You gotta watch this, you guys.
It's all been a dream you've had. Anyway, let me tell you a little bit why I'm here today.
Yes.
About last July.
Go on.
I, as not Louis Canui, but Luke in Metaphor the Metaphor, came on this little podcast.
It was a great episode.
The worst little podcast. Thank you.
Damn good episode.
And I had a great time. And potentially coincidentally, a lot of good things happened last year. For me specifically, not the world. But for me, I had a great year. And I want to just come on this podcast on this silly little April Fool's Day to thank you guys for me specifically. That was wonderful. As well as the totality of like the Reno music community. And, you know, like, you guys do cool things here. And some podcasts are very, very bad. And this is not one of them. This podcast is very nice. It's fun to come in here and see what you're capable of doing. I didn't think I'd be doing this a year later. But wouldn't you know that Wednesday is April Fool's Day, and this podcast sometimes comes out on Wednesday. So I thought that was a good enough reason for me to try to sneak this in under the wire.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you, Louis Canui. This has been delightful.
Can I say on behalf of the podcast, you're welcome.
Right. Anyone else want to rebut that and start like a rift? Rick, I've been kind of cold to you this whole day.
I want. How have things been going with Kat?
Yeah.
Let me tell you about some of the things I've done. So all of last year. No, that's not a segue. That's me focusing on what Rick just threw to me. So last year, I was kind of breaking out of my shell a little bit. I was doing these open mics all year. Just kind of on a whim, a friend of mine texted me on a random Tuesday in February, said, there's an open mic, you should go. And I had nothing else going on. I was like, fine, but I'm not going to bring my guitar. And I didn't bring my guitar. And Cat Hart played to open the, because it was her open mic. And then she said, no, we have some instruments up here. If anyone wants to sign up on the list and use our instruments, you can. And I'm sitting there kind of grumpy and I'm like, that's good to know, but I'm not going to play. And then a couple acts go and I go, well, I am here. So I played 2.5 songs, and on the third song, which ended up being half song, the person's guitar I was using kind of fizzled out, and I stopped halfway through. Mm. And I was like, that's my time. And I walked off stage, and I was like, that went probably as poorly as it could go to open mic, but I had fun. I want to do it again. So all that year, I was playing at these open mics with Cat Hart. Not with Cat Hart, but it was her open mics. And then in October, she recommended me for some other things. And I was like, okay, I'm starting to make a little niche for myself. And then I kind of like clicked some gears in my head. And I was like, oh, wait, I think she runs these blues jams. And I can't really jam on guitar, but I know how to play drums, or at least I used to. So I go to the blues jam that she hosts at Lee Dog. And after the show, I'm like, hey, thanks for hosting. And she's like, I need a drummer. Are you available?
Mm.
And I was like, yeah, I'm available.
Holy shit.
So it really was like the most, like, serendipity is a word I've been using a lot.
The established Cat Hart.
Yes.
Like, we met her back in the day when she was first starting, and we'd have her on every so often, and we watched her grow, and it's been the beautiful thing Rick was talking about.
And you know, obviously, you know, great voice, great talent, you know, like, but it's very interesting that it was just right place, right time. The city is so connected, and so everybody seems to know each other, and it was like, if I just chose not to go to that blues jam that day, or if she didn't say like a nice thing that open mic, I wouldn't have gone to the blues jam, and I would have missed just a beautiful opportunity. So, so since November, I've been the drummer in the current line of Feral Heart, Cat Hart's group. Mm-hmm. We played Mary Anarchy last December.
I was delighted to see you behind the drums. At Mary
so great,
that was great,
and
was
awesome. And I don't, yeah, because I saw you guys, and it didn't click with me that it was, you know. Your guys, you know, you guys were anyway associated with. I was like, oh yes, the gig at Shims, and I was like, oh wait, there's all these people that I know, and I'm starting to know people. How wonderful, and you know, and so that's still going great. This year, I'm gonna try to record my fourth Metaphor the Metaphor album. I have all the songs written. I'm ready to get in the studio. Frick will let me after this podcast. We'll see. It really is. I just wanted to, you know, do something a little silly out of my comfort zone. I also wanted to just share the things I'm sure a lot of people want to share with you guys. So thank you guys for all that you do.
Man, that is one of the two ways that you get famous in Reno, is you either go to a bunch of open mic nights, you start meeting people, they start meeting you, they start being impressed by what you're doing, then they ask you to be in a band, and then the next thing you know, you're playing Mary Anarchy. The other way is to put an ad on Craigslist, because that's like every band we talk to, that's how they met their
bass player. Is Craigslist still around?
Well, I'm not using my phone data, so I don't know.
Right.
And Rick Craigslist. Will give me his Wi-Fi password.
It's not just for gay sex anymore.
Ew.
Louis Canoe, thank you so much for coming on here and taking over the podcast. This was a delight.
I know next year we'll probably, if it comes out on Thursday or Wednesday, could depend on us, but I'm not going to do this again. That's a promise.
What if it's like a Friday the 13th?
Spooky Louis?
Halloween Enough episode? No.
Good answer.
Hopefully next time I come on, I'll have something concrete to share with you guys. Maybe I'll have done my first metaphor, the metaphor show. Who knows? But I have plugs, but I'll get to that. Should I do that before the final song, or should I?
Before we'll go out with the last
before
song.
The final all right. song.
So, plugs. These are real ads, unlike my very real ads I read earlier. So, I want to shout out the first and third Sunday at Lead Dog. There's an open mic, 3 to 6. I'm usually there, so if you want to see me in person. That's not what my secret was that most of you don't know about because you're not on Patreon, but Patreon. That's not part of my
if you're not a Patreon subscriber, he gave out coordinates.
Shut the hell up, man.
Patreon.com/worstlittlepodcast.
That's allowed. The first and third Sunday at Lead Dog, 3 to 6 are open mics. Great time.
Where's Lead Dog?
It's on 4th and Valley. It's right next to
by
Black
the fire
Rabbit.
Station.
Yes.
Okay.
Right, sandwiched in between those two things. The second and fourth at Lead Dog, Sunday 3 to 6, are blues jams. It's a great time. You might find your next bandmate there. You might find just someone you want to play harmonica with. If you want to just show up with a saxophone and not play, you're allowed to do that too. Just come on by. It's a great way to spend a couple hours on a Sunday.
And remember, you cannot play somebody else's harmonica because you'll catch herpes.
Unless you play at the same time.
I've got a French horn that I don't know how to play. And the fingering stuck, but I'll bring it over.
I'm a retired spoons player.
Come out of retirement, dude. You're
that
so good.
That would be so rad.
Did the spork kind of revolutionize your industry and you're like, I can't keep up?
I've got an old set of spoons I could trade.
I was just getting way too much play from the females. I had to put it down. You know what I mean?
You're an honest man.
Yeah.
Chicks love spoon players.
That's so smart.
Dude, when that guy starts playing spoons, there's I can't handle
spoon
this.
Man, it's got a mansion.
It's like the tin man hamboning. It sounds so good.
It's like a panty dropper.
So this Friday, April 3rd, Feral Heart will be playing at Shim's from 8 to 3. Maybe not the full lineup, but at least me, Kat, and probably one or two other members. We have a bassist. We have a saxophone player. Mm. Some iteration. It's going to be a fun time. On Saturday, I'll be playing down at the White House. Not that one. The one in Carson City. From 5 to 9 on their patio. Should be fun. And you can find more information of Feral Heart at catheart.net. You can find all my music at metaftm.bandcamp.com, and all that will be linked, I'm sure, in the episode description. But had a great time today, and I'm going to play one more song, and it's going to be a new song.
A Newt Song.
I've got a
song.
That should be your publishing company, Newt Songs.
I've got a private equity side hustle, so if anybody out there knows of any depreciated assets, please let me know.
They could probably buy me out, then I'll keep releasing faster, worse songs every year.
Mm.
That's a really good business idea. People will love that.
They do.
You need artistic output. I need tax write-offs.
Is that like a meme coin?
It's like whenever you hear like something going bankrupt, like Red Lobster has gone out of business, and it's like, oh, they're back with a new owner. It's just a private equity firm buying them, and they're going to try to make a hot buck, and then you're like, oh, well, we changed everything, and now we're just producing cheddar biscuit content, and now we're selling it, and everyone's losing their jobs again. Very cool.
It's beautiful.
Isn't that – don't we love it?
I definitely have some depreciated assets.
I saw some depreciated assets when I was working, driving Uber today down along the 4th and 6th Street intersection.
Okay, I'll go check that out.
It's pretty depreciated.
Unlike Louis Canoe, who's very appreciated.
It's appreciated.
Yes, thank you
by the moment.
For doing a great job today.
You can't see on the pod at home, but I am frowning. I don't believe it. All right, this song is called Do Not Mind. It's been played once elsewhere, but no one's ever recorded it. B
Be it a continent to cross or a consciousness you fought to elevate some other's merit over the heart that you keep. If it's easy as it seems and you're blue only in dreams, why do you struggle now to bear this burden while you're not asleep to take it all? Even the fall to apologize for how you failed to mitigate the sprawl. You do so much to put them all at ease. You stand those harder on your knees. You tell me that you do not mind the whale. You can't do it for me, but you should do it for yourself. You'll never earn a celebration taking on this complication to decipher a dead language without symbols illustrated. If it's some greater folly, you lack an endangered quality. Being content when you languish, never leave us innovated. You belay to not slip away, but you'll show those you support. You see yourself as nothing more than just some dirt in the decay. You do so much to put them all at ease. You stand, though it's harder on your knees. You tell me that you do not mind the whale. You can do it for me, but you do it for yourself. You can do it for me, but you do it for yourself. We are still not done with the process, trying to get what you compose us. Do not disregard the graces for the issue is named. If it's only in your head and you're dreaming now all red, the flush crosses your cool countenance, betraying what you claimed was for yourself and nobody else. Reimagine what your life could be if you do for you what you do for me, for them, for you, synchronically. And at this point I think that we said it enough for you to see. Yeah, do so much to put them all at ease. You stand, though it's harder on your knees. You tell me that you do not mind the whale. You can do it for me, but you do it for yourself. You can do it for me, but you do it for yourself. You can do it, you can do it, you can do it for yourself.